It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
And a very pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Hurricane Hotline. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., Trevor Harris is our producer tonight. We've got a big show coming up. We'll hear from University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. We'll also relive all the highlights from Saturday's game against FAMU. And then in hour number two, University of Miami women's soccer coach Ken Masur will join us. They open up conference play on Thursday against Virginia. They have a winning non-conference record, so we'll talk with Coach Masur coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. And then University of Miami women's volleyball team, what a win they had over the weekend. Beat number one Texas, and Ken Ogandura will join us. And we'll talk about his big win over Texas, and they also will be playing home matches this week. So big show coming up for you. Hurricanes on Saturday will take on Ball State. Miami ranked 10th in the country right now. 3:30 kickoff. We will be on the air at 11 a.m. with our pregame show for Miami and Ball State. This past Saturday at Hard Rock Stadium, it was the home opener, and the Canes easily defeated FAMU, and here is how it sounded.
Lawrence the far side hash mark. Ward the near side hash mark. Borregales with the ball in the tee. Orange over orange for Miami. Miami at FAMU. 12th meeting. And away we go in Miami Gardens. High and end over end. And Goldie Lawrence cradles it over the shoulder 5 yards deep and takes a left knee. Richardson drifts to his right side. Being pursued. Throws, and it's intercepted by Wesley the Saint. He tipped it in there with his right hand, grabbed it with the left hand, and tumbles out of bounds. And it's a wonderful acrobatic interception by the Saint at the 35-yard line of FAMU. Ward stands in a sliver of sunshine, makes the snap, looks to his right, pumps, looks middle, throws across the middle. Connor Royal for a touchdown. 17-yard touchdown strike, and just like that, Miami has a jump start. They won it 6-0 over FAMU. Shotgun snap. Ward looks left. Now whistles it down the middle. Yeah. It's Clark at the 40, to the 45, out to midfield, leaping over a tackler is Riley Williams, and he gets into FAMU territory. Riley Williams on a dead run, makes the reception, then leaps over a tackler, picks up a first down as he rumbles for 27 yards. Officially from midfield. Ward to throw wide open down the middle. It's Restrepo. He'll walk into the end zone for a Miami touchdown. 50 yards from Ward to Restrepo. And the Hurricanes lead it 13-0. A quick strike. Ward to Restrepo. And Miami jumps in front 13-0 on the 50-yard touchdown. Now out of the swinging gate. They flip it over to the left side. It's going to be a two-point conversion as Riley Williams runs it in. To make that guess, Riley Williams runs it in for a two-point conversion. And it's 15-0 at Hard Rock Stadium. How about that? Another third down situation. Ward from the right hash mark. Flips it out right side. Chris Johnson's got it. He's at the 5. And Chris Johnson dashes into the end zone for a Miami touchdown. The right side of the end zone. 9 yards. And Ward has his third touchdown. It's a hat trick for Cam Ward. And the Canes lead it 21-3. First down and 10. Miami leads it 25-3. Hurricanes 25-3 leaders. Shotgun snap. Richardson is going to be sacked by Barron again, who flexes his muscle. Nice. Third sack of the quarter for the University of Miami. Fletcher in the backfield with Ward. He'll take the handoff, runs right up the middle, and Fletcher is into the end zone for a Miami touchdown.
Make it easy on yourself. Give it to Big Fletch.
He's got his third touchdown of the season, and Miami has a 31-6 lead. Danes have him in the hole on 3rd and 15. 2 for 7 at third downs. Dropping the throw is Richardson. Being chased by Barron. He's got him around the shoulder pads and brings him down. Another sack for Tyler Barron. That's his third. Lofted in motion. Martinez takes the handoff. Finds a hole up the middle. And come there on. He goes at the 20, the 15, the 10. Damian Martinez has his first touchdown as a Miami Hurricane. He goes 33 yards into the end zone. 33 touchdown yards for Damian Martinez. 3rd and 6, the ball is at the 8. Ward takes the snap, rolls left. Looking, might run Will. He's at the five, then the four. Oh, my! He leaps toward the end zone. He's going to be out of bounds, or is he in? Touchdown! Ward is in for a touchdown. He goes airplane mode at the pylon, and Cam Ward is into the end zone for a touchdown. Lyle in the backfield, the right hip of Poffenbarger. Snap, handoff, Lyle trying to pierce the defense, and he does, into the end zone. Touchdown, Jordan Lyle. He's got himself a collector's item.
There he does. He's not going to give that football up.
His first touchdown is a Hurricane, 52-9 Miami. Poffenbarger takes, hands it off, spinning down to the 30-yard line, running hard inside the 30, down to the 28-yard line. That should do it. It's A.J. Allen, and that will be the end of the game on the final carry. It was Chris Wheatley. Humphrey takes it down for the final carry, and now the clock here at Hard Rock Stadium runs out, and that's all. Miami has won this one at Hard Rock, going away. It's an easy one for the University of Miami. Hurricanes win this one 56-9 over Florida A&M. Right from the get-go, it was all Miami. 56-9 is your final score.
Well, that's the way it sounded on Saturday at Hard Rock Stadium. Hopefully it sounds the same way this weekend against Ball State. Now, for a look back at FAMU and a look ahead to Ball State, here is Hurricanes head coach Mario Cristobal. Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Zagacki alongside Don Bailey Jr. and, of course, University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. This week, the Hurricanes back home 3:30, 10th-ranked Miami Hurricanes taking on the Cardinals of Ball State. Would love to see you there in a full house at Hard Rock Stadium. Coach, great atmosphere this past Saturday and a good solid win against FAMU.
Great atmosphere. The fans, they brought it. Hurricane family showed up strong, and our players really appreciated it.
Coach, everybody wants to know, how do you keep it rolling? How do you keep it rolling? You addressed it. Practice and culture, very, very important.
Yeah, we're two games in. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, is there excitement? Yes. Is there a strong buzz? Great. Let's go work. That's all we got to focus on.
You got off to a great start. First quarter, scored really fast with one of the quickest scores Miami's had in the last 10 years. Maybe a little low in the second quarter, which probably was good for you from a coaching standpoint, right? Because you were able to demand some more in the third quarter, was really sharp.
You know, it is. It's we started fast. I mean, defense played great the entire game. And then offensively, after scoring a couple times, you know, we can manage a 99-yard drive, but we couldn't score from their 20-yard line when we got the ball. It makes no sense, right? You got to get that done. So we went right at it. You know, as simple as this in the locker room, that we were cheating ourselves. We weren't playing up to our standards for whatever reason, but there's only one reason we play, and that's to play together to win. And so that was brought to the forefront, and I thought the response was awesome. Four straight scores, four straight stops, and then a lot of guys got to play, which is extremely valuable for the future of the program.
Let's spend time on that. And you and I have talked about it over the years about the importance of a game rep. I mean, you can do whatever you want at practice, and we can talk about the power of Green Tree, but unless you're on the field during a real game, you don't cross over. I mean, you have to have those reps, and you got, 50-some guys in there.
No doubt. It's a different world now. It
right.
really is, and those guys were commenting on that, and they were appreciative of their playing time, and they showed it when they played. Early the twos and some of the threes, they were giving in some. You know, they weren't quite playing to the standard, but when they finally started getting their cleats in the ground, you saw some really good performances by a ton of young guys. And I'll tell you, to have three interceptions by three different linebackers, I mean, that's
rare.
As rare as it gets. And, you know, we protected fairly well. And then the guys up front on the defensive line did great. The linebackers played really, really well. So the DBs. A lot of guys got good playing time. Guys like JoJo caught their first pass. And Icar caught their first pass. You know, I think of Elijah Lofton as a sophomore. He's such a good player. He's been playing so much anyways. But everyone got reps, and it was great to see.
It is interesting how you're able to build this team. Because as you mentioned, when you played, it was almost as if there were two teams. There was a starting team, the regular team, and then there was a team behind it that when everybody graduated, that next group was ready to go. They were able to step in, really not miss a beat because they were able to get a lot of practice or get into games. Recently, you haven't really had that opportunity, but I think that was a good example of what it could be like on Saturday night where guys are getting that kind of experience.
It did. It felt that way. And, you know, things are different nowadays in college football. I mean, you have – you always had spring ball, but now you have, you know, skill instruction so you could work with your players some. And then they have their – you know, they hold their own practices. It's like a, almost like an NFL OTA. So the rep count really increases, like, exponentially. So, and we told our staff, we spoke amongst each other, we must do a better job of getting the other part of the roster ready to play right now. Okay. There's no more waiting game in college football. It's a transient, right, type business nowadays. You've got to get guys ready to play because there are injuries. The seasons are longer and not everyone sticks around forever. So, there's a commitment to that. We're looking forward to reaping the benefits of it.
Coach Cam Ward, the saga continues. Right? I'm sure we'll talk about it every week. He hit his first 7 out of 8, ended the day 77%, but then the run for the touchdown, that's him. I mean, right? That's it. He's just competing every single snap. And where's this? Is there a ceiling?
For him?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's, you know, he's everything and more than what we thought. But again, the best part about him is the mentality and the heart. It is the best part. The ability, I mean, it's – no one's going to be able to outperform that part of it. I just don't think anyone can catch him as it relates to what's in here and what's up in there as well. A guy was raised right, and he makes people around him better. And it's what you want to play with, and he's really had a tremendous impact in that locker room.
Coach, can you pick up on some of the player development that you've had in this program? Often we focus on, okay, superstar players are going to come in through the transfer portal. But a guy like Jaden Harrison right now is your leading tackler. He's been in this program for 3 years. He's developed. Wesley Bissing talked about the interception, juggling interception. He's been in this program with you for 3 years. You are starting to see guys such as those really develop into fine players.
No doubt. Guys like Matt McCoy,
right?
You know, what a great player he's turned out to be. Inez Cooper, right?
Inez would be another one, yeah.
Guys like Bain and Francis, they, you know, they popped out of the box, no assembly required. They went right to it, you know. You know, we're able to inherit Jalen Rivers. You know, what an unbelievable young man. So we've got a great blend on our roster. It makes sense. You know, it's layered in a way where, you know what, there are some great frontline players that are – a lot are older, but there's a good chunk of younger ones as well. And there's some – excellent players that are either playing, you know, in spot duty, are getting in the rotation, or just about ready to get in there. So it bodes well for the future.
Coach, you talk about existing players, but then you go in and bring a Tyler Barron, 3 sacks on the day, made an impact at the Florida game, and he's priceless as well.
Yeah, Tyler, what a great surprise. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember, I kid him all the time because I was chasing him like a maniac when I was, you know, working out at Oregon, and I just couldn't get him to go all the way out there. And so having him here now and get to know him, what stands out, he has those qualities like we referred to for some of our other players. He is a very driven, smart, just hardworking guy that is uber talented. So he's another guy that's just getting started. And again, there's no ceiling.
He had to make a change in the starting lineup on the offensive line because with Jalen saying this one out, the big kid Bell. How did he? I mean, he's not hard to miss. That's for sure.
You can see his number, right?
Yeah, you can see his number. Yeah, and that's an easy one to spot. How did he do for you?
He did a great job. Really proud of him. Everybody's proud of him. Earned the trust of his teammates early on, and he did not disappoint. And he's only going to get better and better and better. So, you've seen how much his body has changed in just the last 9 months. He is a workaholic, man. Workaholic, just awesome human being. Loved watching Big Kel play out there.
Coach, you go back to the secondary, Patterson and Frederick, both of those guys, true freshmen. And that tells a lot to the players you're recruiting that you will play fresh. If you can help, you're going to play. And those are two examples.
Yeah, OJ he's already gotten starter reps, you know. And Zaquan really had a strong week of practice, which, you know, we put a lot on him this week. Say, hey, man, you've got the ability. No more waiting. You got to get it done. Let's get in here. Let's spend more time studying. Let's have better practices. And Zaquan responded extremely well. Super proud of him. Went out there and really did a great job. And again, just another example of a really talented freshman that's on his way to being a great player for us. Not later, but now.
Also, you often talk about that middle eight and the first four of the third quarters so far this year. has been totally dominated by the University of Miami.
Mm-hmm. We put a lot of the time and invest in making sure that we are self-scouted and that we scout our opponents to the T. And it is paying off with our adjustments, our assessments, and then the decisions by the coordinators have done a great job.
Speaking of coordinators, defensively, this past week, 10 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 3 picks, and 3 for 13 on third down. The week before, they held Florida to 1-9, I guess it was, on third down. Fantastic play on that side of the ball.
No doubt. You know, Coach Guidry, you know, it's amazing to hear him speak. Being in his second year with a lot of the same guys, it's just a different world. You know, I mean, he sees a game like no one I've ever been around on the defensive side of the ball. And certainly when he's dialing it up, he's hard to match, and, you know, the players feed off of him. So really, again, honored to have him here with us.
I was listening to Bill Belichick talk the other day about a team, and he talked about continuity in the coaching staff, and that's what you have now with your coordinators. It's got to be a big relief for you and a big positive for you as a head coach to have two guys back, and the way those two guys work together with complementary football, that continuity has to be a real positive.
Yeah, you know, I think everyone around the country recognizes them as great coaches. I think what the most important part to go with that is they're elite human beings. Love being around those guys. They certainly have impacted the people in the building in more ways than just football.
Which one of the hardest things to do is to get special teams in line, because you can't go really live. You can't tackle. But I saw the big difference from week one to week two in kickoff coverage. And you actually got two kickers in, which is great for the future. But you don't see that happen often either.
No doubt. I mean, you know, that was the one ugly part of game one up at Florida. We didn't cover the kickoff very well. And we have been hammering that. Mm-hmm. I mean, every single coach, you know, Coach Derek Nicholson, Coach Matt Merritt, these guys have done a phenomenal job of pushing it. And then guys like Adarius Hayes and Bobby Pruitt and Robert Stafford, Popo Aguirre, these guys really took it upon themselves, made it personal. Bobby Washington is going to be really, really good at that as well. Dylan Day, you know, great job as well, setting the edge on that, also getting physical. And we tackled one inside the 20 and one inside the 15. I mean, that's a dramatic improvement, you know, for our coverage team.
All right, still to come, more of Mario Cristobal and Don Bailey Jr. Also coming up on the show, University of Miami women's soccer coach Ken Masur. They will play Virginia on Thursday. Keno from women's volleyball, Keno Gandera, will join us. Keno does a great job at the University of Miami, coming off a big win against Texas. So Keno will be with us at about 7:40 tonight. Hey, here's a question for you. Are you looking for a quiet, smooth ride? May I suggest the all-new Cadillac Electric Lyriq, or maybe the CT4 or the CT5, the XT5, XT6. Another question for you. Are you looking for outstanding customer service? You want to go someplace where you are going to be treated like family? Well, I've got the answer for you. It's Miami's luxury dealership, founded over 50 years ago. It's a dealership that is more than just an automobile dealership. They're your friends. They're your neighbors. It is Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac with Ed Williamson has built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience. Customers come first. Customers are treated like family. You want world-class customer service? Then it's Williamson Cadillac. You want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle? It is Williamson Cadillac. You want to experience a new Cadillac from a luxury dealership? Go visit Ed Williamson right now. The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6. I'm driving the XT4 and the all-new electric Lyriq, all in stock right now at South Florida's luxury dealership. Check them out, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to Hurricane. Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
On Saturday, it's Miami and Ball State. The Cardinals of Ball State come calling 10th-ranked Miami 330 at Hard Rock Stadium. They're coming off a 42-34 victory, their first game of the year. I'll mention they're a MAC team. The MAC flexing their muscle last week with a big win. It's their 100th season of college football, so great tradition there. And Caden Semenoza is their quarterback. He did a very nice job.
He really did. He's got a great offensive line. They are big. They're nasty. They are physical. They give them time. Ball's out on time. They get the ball out, and they get it out in different ways. A screen game, down the field, play-action shots, RPOs. The tight ends are really good players. They have explosive wide receivers. A very veteran group on offense. I believe they returned 10 starters, if I'm not mistaken. And four out of the five offensive linemen. And they tally up maybe second or third most offensive line reps in the country. So and then they're complemented by a defense that, you know, I mentioned it before to our staff. They were giving up 15 points a game last year down the stretch. And they lost some players, but they've added more talent. Mm-hmm. They've added longer, more explosive bodies, you know, more power at the line of scrimmage. So this is a really good football team. You know, we had them we study everybody, but we pour a lot of time into our first, you know, six opponents. And they were one we poured a lot of time into. And we recognize right away it's a really good football team.
Coach, their defense is not going to make it easy on you. They move people. They misplace personnel. As an offense, you really have to know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. They bring pressure. I mean, half the time they're bringing something in some way, shape, or form, and they disguise it really well. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to hit you. You know, they want to hit the quarterback. They want to hit the running back. They want to get their free hitters or plus one guy in the box. They want to confuse your IDs, your points, and get you offline so that they can come free and make some plays. So very well coordinated. Again, you know, their head coach, like myself, alma mater, right?
Yeah.
And that always makes a tremendous difference. So a lot of respect for them and looking forward to the opportunity on Saturday.
Coach New's been there for 9 years. Hit the transfer portal on offense also. Sloan, the running back, 2 touchdowns, 103 yards rushing on 21 attempts. Had a nice 40-yard touchdown, and he's a transfer from Kentucky. So he played in the SEC.
Without a doubt. And he's just one of several guys that they've brought in that we feel, because again, everyone's watched the same transfer portal guys, you know, so you know who's going where, and we recognize them as a team. They got some really, really good players, and they were already a good football team. So again, we're excited for the opportunity.
Coach, both of these teams, you've got Ball State there, 38, 39 minutes of time of possession. You're doing about the same thing on your side of the football. Mm-hmm. Who's going to get the football, right? I mean, that's going to be the battle of the clock.
You know, they've put a lot of, they've invested a lot in their trenches, and so have we. And again, those are, you know, for lots of us, you know, former linemen and whatnot, we love seeing those battles, right? So, no, they, it starts at the top. They're a very well coached football team. Their quarterback has, in that game last week, I mean, you can tell. The hype surrounding them is not noise, and it's real. They've got a really good football team.
As you guys mentioned earlier, right in both of your wheelhouses, 117 starts on that offensive line, 36 for the left tackle, and 30, this will be the 30th start for the center. So that's pretty good continuity right there in the trenches.
It pays off. And the other thing, Coach, is you look at their schedule last year, and you mentioned their coach has been there for, it's going on 9 or 10 years. They go to Kentucky, and they go to Georgia. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they've been on the road. They've been in big venues. They're going to get off the bus and not be intimidated.
Absolutely. We don't expect any flinch from them at all. You know, again, we're just looking forward to playing ball.
Coach, when with one of your teams, when you play, there's always a sense of confidence. I think, Don, your teams as well with Coach Schnellenberger. And you can see that, feel it with your team now. Just the way they carry themselves. The confidence that they're exuding seems to permeate through the program. Do you think some of that comes from guys looking at each other, knowing that they've got good players side by side?
It comes from time invested.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's real confidence because of the amount of work done, you know, and time around each other. I mean, It's a real high care factor right now. And we've all recognized that what we do best is practice and preparation. You know, if you could win on Green Tree Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, you're going to give yourself the best shot on Saturday, you know, and they recognize the best overall thing we have going on right now is our culture. You know, when you combine that type of hard work and practice and preparation with culture, you know, you get on the bus feeling good about where you're going to be come kickoff time.
Coach Woodall, your tight end coach, they've done a phenomenal job with that room. That just room keeps producing and producing and producing.
Just a lot of dynamic playmakers, different body types. They all bring physicality to the table and athleticism. They all can run. They all can catch. Just a really impressive, and we're blessed to have that tight end room.
Thought maybe we'd spend the last couple minutes of the show on some of the recruiting. We can't mention names and all that stuff. You did have a bunch of recruits on the sidelines for the FAMU game, but I also wanted to pick up on this. I know you won't take credit for it, but I think it's well-deserved. People look at recruiting and they go, oh, well, you know, they can look at the services and there's this, look at this five-star or that four-star or whatever. When you recruit, people forget that it takes talent to recruit talent. And you have the talent to spot good talent. And maybe we can discuss a little bit some of the things that you look for when you're recruiting, because as I mentioned, it takes good talent to recruit good talent.
Well, I mean, we do it as a staff, you know, it's not just one person. It's a concerted effort by, you know, everyone fully recognizing and understanding that's the life's blood of any program, right? It's always going to be about people, regardless of what you choose to do in life, right? And as it relates to recruiting, yeah, it's a talent can be compromised, but neither can character and work ethic. I mean, they got to go hand in hand. They don't work very well without each other. I mean, these guys, you know, they go from being high school superstars to, hey man, get in line. You got to earn this now. And if the makeup, you know, if the DNA isn't where it needs to be, sometimes those things don't work out very well. And you want to get your hit ratio, meaning the guys that you really hit on that become really good players, really good citizens for you. You want that to be at a really high clip, right? So you just do tons and tons of background checking and research, and you spend every ounce of time you can with them. You watch them in adverse situations. You watch them when they're riding high and doing great as well to see what are they made of? You know, what are they like? How are they around their family? You know, how are they around their teammates? How they, when they're losing a game, how are they when they're winning a game? You know, how are they in practice? Go over to the bursar's office, go to the attendance office and find out, hey man, is he paying his bills on time and is he showing up to class and school? So there's a lot, but again, this is Miami and we live and die for the University of Miami. And so when we talk about Miami, it's not selling, it's just telling the truth.
But the other part of that is that maybe the best recruiters you have, no matter what the staff's reputation is, are your existing players.
That's right.
That's immediately where the new players are going to go. And some of the parents, I'm sure, want to talk to those, the existing players' parents as well.
Undoubtedly. I mean, it's a perfect example. Mark Fletcher getting off to an awesome freshman year. Bam. Really tough injury. Well, how's the staff? Are they there for you? Are they moving on from you? What are they going to do? All right. Well, look what he's doing, right? And then let's go all over the world, all over the globe. Go to Francis Maynoa, you know. How's that adjustment gone? You know, freshman All-American. Let's go over a local guy, Reuben Bain. You know, let's talk about how that's gone. So, and the list goes on and on and on and on. So we stand, you know, by our people, by our work, by our word, and we don't compromise that for anyone or anything.
The personnel side of Coach Cristobal, however, has spanned across the country, right? You've been so many places and around so many people. That has to be a benefit to sharpen your vision of looking at guys, because the personnel side of Coach Cristobal is very important.
Yeah, but it all started here. Yeah. I mean, I remember being a GA and I remember guys like Chuck Pagano, you know, talking to me about the industry and how it works and everything else. And he's like, hey man, I know that there's going to be, you know, coaches going here or there because, hey, they pay more or country club membership or whatnot. He goes, don't ever trade anything for great players. All right. This is still a player led industry, you know, and great players that are great people are what it's all about.
Let's be upfront, Coach. You explained that on the trip. I mean, you're open and transparent about everything that's going to happen during a player's experience here, including the education.
without a doubt. I mean, this is an elite private institution. You know, we had some families that were here this weekend and they were walking around campus and they were blown away. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you not come here? This setting is perfect for people that are really serious about their academics, their ability to network and find the best career opportunities all over the world. And it's an awesome place for people that want to be elite at football, because you have an unbelievable group of people, men and women, and the training staff, mental health support, strength and conditioning, recruiting, development, coaching, that are here to just do everything humanly possible to make you the best you can be.
All right, 3:30 on Saturday, Hard Rock Stadium. We'll do it all again. The very best of luck against Ball State.
Always. Thank you, and go Canes.
All right, this is University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. Stay with us. We'll continue on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Soccer coach Ken Masur joins us in the next hour, as does volleyball coach Keno Gandara. So Keno joins us in the next hour at about 7:40, coming off a great win against Texas last Saturday. Don Bailey Jr. with us now. We'll also hear from the coordinators after 7 o'clock. Don Bailey Jr. with us now. We will be at Hard Rock Stadium on Saturday for a 3:30 kickoff, Miami and Ball State. But prior to that, Don, on Friday, we are going to welcome in the 1989 National Championship team. They will be honored on Saturday, 35th anniversary of the 89 National Championship team with Coach Dennis Erickson. And that's one of my favorite teams, the 89 team. Played with such great character and guts. But the funny thing about Coach Erickson, when he was announced as Miami's coach in the spring of 89, I was doing a talk show, and every call, I promise you, every call from the day he was hired until the day they played Wisconsin was, how's this spread offense going to work? What is all this spread offense stuff? What do you mean we're going to empty the backfield and not have running backs? Where are the tight ends going to be? What's this spread offense going to do? And is he going to still play the 4-3 defense? And then from September until Thanksgiving, every call, no matter what the game, even including Florida State on the hotline, it would conclude with Coach Erickson. Can you beat Notre Dame?
Well, everybody still wants to know if you can beat Notre Dame. Northern or Southern or Eastern? Or I was going to say one of those Northern. It was some Illinois team just beat them, so I guess they can be beat.
But, you know, Coach Erickson's team in 89, at the time, they averaged like 480 yards a game of offense, which was unheard of. In those years, if you got 300 yards, you were doing something well. And it was a bit of an adjustment, I think, for the guys to go from Gary Stevens to Dennis Erickson. I think it was a bit easier when they went from Dave Wannstedt to Sonny Lubick, because Sonny really didn't change anything. But you know, one of my favorite games was the Michigan State game, which they went up there, 76,000 fans. What a great place, East Lansing. That was one of my biggest disappointments for COVID, was that you and I didn't go to Michigan State, because they really did have a great environment.
Yeah, I wish we would have made that trip. There's no question about it. I mean, yeah. But, I'm glad to see that group come down here and get honored. And, you know, Rick Rimmert, Jessica Green do a – Mo Piro's involved too, but they all do such a great job of putting these things together. And I have a little saying, it doesn't happen with a magic wand. And there's a lot of hours and hours and hours and hours of work. But they all turn out very nice.
Yeah, and this team had some great characters. I'll miss somebody, but you had Darrell Williams and Darren Smith. They don't make him much better than Darren Smith. He's going to speak. Russell Maryland. Dale Dawkins, Randall Hill, Craig Erickson, Cortez Kennedy was part of that team, no longer with us. And I always like to tell the story of Cortez. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, who is your favorite Hurricane? And I said, well, a lot of them are my favorite, but I would be remiss if I didn't put Cortez Kennedy in the mix, because he was such a, not a great football player, but a fun-loving person to be around well after he left the University of Miami, when he played for Seattle, or when he retired from the NFL. But I remember we had a game at Pittsburgh. He was the, I told the story before, the Ray Defensive Player of the Game. And on the trip home on the airplane, I got hit in the back of the head with this big hand. And I looked up, and it was Cortez. And he spoke with a little bit of a lisp, and he said, "Hey, Joe, thank you for making me the Ray Player of the Game. I knocked them dead." Because, the you know, the tagline was, "Ray, knock them dead." And he loved it.
Oh, he was a character. Now he was a character, but I will tell you, he was a wonderful man. You can tell that I've never heard one person say one bad thing about that man.
I was talking to Ed Ogeron the other day in the practice field about Cortez Kennedy, and we were talking about the practice habits of then and now. And you know, Cortez was a big man in college. And it's hot out, and he never missed practice. Randy Shan, I think Randy Shan, when he slept by the refrigerator for Cortez, but Tez, he gave it all in every practice and every game.
Yeah, well, that's why you when you look at championship team, Joes, there's always those kind of stories. I mean, we're starting. I'm not saying Miami's going to win a championship this year, but they're certainly on path to do something special, and you already see the story starting to emerge, and the personalities. But really, one thing that has been common through all five of the championships and the, 10 or 12 times they've played for them is the hard work and the commitment of the team. And they've all been team-led programs, not the coaches. And 89 was absolutely no different.
Yeah, quite a season. All right, so this week we've got Ball State coming to town on Saturday. Before we jump in on that, what did we learn about the team on Saturday against FAMU?
Well, I think you learned there's been quality depth being built up. I think that Coach Cristobal, came in and the program was not nearly what it should be talent-wise when he took over. Or it didn't. Let's say it this way. It's not comparable to today. And so he has not only gone out and done as well as he can do in the portal, but you see all the true freshmen that played last year, and you've got true freshmen that are playing this year. And I think 22 of those guys got reps last week. And that's impressive. I don't care who the opponent is to be able to have the young people come in and get basically a third of the game, pretty close to a third of the game. And that's going to build for the future. And I think that's, you and I were talking, I think, yesterday and about the negative is that we needed the great talent to come in and play. They would be gone in 3 years, and no one with any maturity was able to come in and fill in behind them. And the way that Coach Cristobal handles his recruiting is that he makes sure that you're not only – playing the players that deserve to play now, but you're also building experience and building talent. And he said it in his show with us in his interviews, as I challenge the staff is to make sure that the next line of players are ready to play. And, you never know who you're going to lose, Joe. And that has derailed more seasons than anything. It's derailed more seasons than interceptions and turnovers and discipline problems and penalties. Is the loss of a great player. And the only way to keep that yourself as a team away from that is to keep building experience.
Yeah, well, football is a battle of attrition. So you got to stay healthy or have incredible depth.
Well, it's 100% guaranteed you're going to get hurt at some point. I don't know if you're going to miss a week, a day, or a season, but everybody gets hurt. It's the bullseye is on every person, so you really have no choice with it. And the key is again, you know, everyone's going to say, can Miami sustain it? I says, I certainly think they can. I was there again today, and they're going one-on-one pass rush and going live drills when it comes to the run game. And you know, tomorrow's a Wednesday, and you'll be down there, and you'll see the same thing. And the good news is that I don't know that the defensive linemen have yet gone against an offensive line that's better than Miami's, and they may not the whole year. And I don't know. I for sure can tell you that Miami's offensive line hasn't gone against a defensive line that's as good as theirs is right now. And I don't know that they will throughout this whole season. You know, that'll be take time to see, and we'll see what happens. But what happens in the meantime is you're getting great practice reps, and you're going against NFL, you know, draft picks instead of guys that are not of that caliber, and it makes you better, and it makes the game a little bit easier.
You know, what we're probably going to hear a lot of on Friday at the dinner with the 89 team will be the old, you know, how hard it was on Green Tree practice field, that the practices were harder than the games. And I think sometimes maybe that gets mixed up, because what made the practices hard is what's making the practices hard now. And that is, for example, a Jalen Rivers on the offensive line. When you go out and watch those one-on-one drills and he's got to go against Elijah Alston, and then the next guy he goes against is Akeem Mezidor, and the next guy he goes against is Tyler Barron, and then maybe he goes against Marquise Lightfoot or Cole McConathy. It's one right after the other. That's what makes the practices hard, and that's what makes your team better, right?
And especially when you're bringing in guys – like Reuben Bain, who as a freshman,
right,
gives everybody a problem. And you know, you talk about Cortez Kennedy walked on campus, and he may not have started the first game, but I promise you he was difficult to deal with. I remember him, and I remember how he played the game. And you know, the competition part of it, if you're a true competitor, you're either going to continue to compete, and if you're not, you'll move on. And that's the right culture to have in this day and age.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, so we'll when we come back in the next hour in our next segment, we're going to hear from both Shannon and Dawson and Lance Guidry. We'll dive into a little bit of Ball State, a little preview there, and then we're going to talk. I'm going to talk with the new soccer coach for the University of Miami. They open up conference play. Ken Masur is going to join us. And then Kenno Gandara. You know Kenno well, and they had a great win at Texas. He's off to an undefeated start. So women's volleyball will be on the docket here tonight as well. And Kenno does a great job with his program.
He does, Joe. And what I love about him is his energy, right? He's always got the energy. He's always focused, but he's composed. He doesn't go over the top. And they play hard for him, and he's continues to do a great job recruiting, and it's proving true once again in his win-loss record.
Okay, so we'll take a break. We'll continue on the show with Don Bailey Jr. right after this.